Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here it is once more and again. It's Wednesday night. And tonight, the program, Wednesday Night Inspiration, hosted by myself, Diane Adams, is coming to you from the fair city of New Orleans, Louisiana. Tonight, we're going to explore the Word of God together. The company that I represent and that I have on Blog Talk Radio is Words of Wisdom. And for those who have been listening for a long time, I just want to say thank you. I would first like to say thanks to God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Ghost, for allowing this to happen and for giving me this opportunity. You know, I don't take it lightly because, you know, I could be doing a lot of other things, and I remember when I did do things that I shouldn't have been doing, but God saw fit, and here we are on Wednesday night coming together to explore the Word of God, and it's a wonderful thing. I also would like to thank all of you listeners for calling back again. One of my callers has a button press, and I wanted to see if they wanted to talk. It may be an accident, but I'm going to go ahead and open the line. Caller at 8189166, your line, your one button was pressed. Do you would like to say anything? 89166. Maybe it was an accident, but I did see it pressed. And thank you guys for calling. You know, February is the anniversary of the 2 years that I've been on Blog Talk Radio. And through the grace of God, some of you guys have been with me for that time. But as always, I want to let you know, get your pencils and papers and your Bible. And the lesson tonight is going to be coming from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. And the topic of the lesson is going to be God is the potter and we are the clay. At this time, as always, I like to open up with prayer. If there's anyone who would like to open us up with prayer, you may press the one button on your phone. I'll open up and you could bring us to the throne of grace. If not, I'm going to go ahead on and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, dear Lord God, I just want to take time to say thank you. Thank you for another Wednesday that we could come together to explore your word together, dear God. Let us grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because as we grow in grace, dear God, and grow in the knowledge of God is the only way that we could become what you have intended for us to be. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son that died for us and your Holy Spirit that lives within us. And we thank you for each other that you said if we would just do the commandment of loving our neighbors as ourselves, that we would be doing a wonderful thing. Dear God, I just want to thank you that you allow us to meet every week after week. I pray, dear God, that your word don't return void, and I pray that the people that do call in and do listen, I pray that it is something that they can use in their daily lives to get them from one point to another. Lord, there's no other name we could call upon the name but the name of Jesus. Lord, look down upon the sick and the shut in all over, dear God. I'm asking that you look down upon Bobby, Christina, you know, Whitney Houston's daughter, dear God, as she lay in a hospital, dear God. Lord, just have your way with the situation, dear God. And you're not our will, but your will is going to be done with it. But bless the family, dear God, because I know it should be a trying time for them. Bless them, dear God, with what they're going through. Heavenly Father, and I'm asking that you look down upon the people that were killed and their families in the cities, dear God, in the states around the country. Look down upon our president, God, and build a fence and protect them, dear God. Look down upon our schools, dear God, as our children are being taught, dear God, and give the people that's in charge, the administrators, dear God, and the school board and all of these places. Give them the desire to want to do the best thing for the children. Let them not look at the finances, but let them look at the lives of the children, dear God, and make a difference in their lives. Lord, we're going to be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. So at this time, I'm going to play a song, and I found and researched and got a song that I think is so appropriate for the night, because remember, the lesson tonight is God is the potter, and we are the clay. And I'm going to go ahead and play this song, and once that's over, we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson.
Dreams and tears.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The potter wants to put you back together again. For those who have just called in, I want you guys to know that the lesson tonight, the topic is God is the potter and we are the clay. It's coming from the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 6. As always, I give a little background on maybe the author, the place, or whatever. So I wanted you to let you know a little bit of facts about Jeremiah tonight. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet, and he lived in the final days of the crumbling nation of Israel. You know, Israel was crumbling, and everything was going wrong with them because of their disobedience, and Jeremiah lived in that town. And no doubt, you see, Jeremiah was only about 18 years old when God called him. And, you know, a prophet is a person, a man or a woman of God that God uses to give a message to, who used to give a message to the people. That was in the Old Testament. The Old Testament book has 17 prophets. They have 5 major prophets, and Jeremiah is one of the major prophets. And there's 12 minor prophets in the book of the Old in the Bible, part of the Old Testament. So Jeremiah received word from God, and he would tell the people what God wanted them to hear, because God dwelt among the people, and he worked with the people for the people. In other words, he worked with the prophets to give the message to the people, like he worked with Moses. The people wanted stuff, they went to Moses. Moses asked God, and God delivered it. They went to the priests and asked for things that they wanted of God, and the priests represented them and went to God for them, and God delivered them. But, oh, after Jesus Christ came, and he walked, and he died, and he resurrected, once that happened, we no longer have to go to anyone for us to go to God. We can go to him for ourselves. You know, Jeremiah was born to a priestly family, and he belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is one of the tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jeremiah was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. And his father was also a prophet and a high priest. Jeremiah was still a young man when the spirit of prophecy came upon him. You know, he didn't just start doing it. What does this say? The spirit of prophecy, you know, like the gift of prophecy. You know, God uses everybody, whomever he wants, how he wants. And the spirit of prophecy, the gift, was bestowed upon Jeremiah when he was a young guy. And he was fearful to accept such a responsibility, declaring, you know, he told God, I'm still a boy. But God said to him, say not, I'm a boy, for you shall go to all that I send you, and whatever I command you to speak, you will speak it. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. You know, you can look at that in Jeremiah, the first chapter, the 6th through the 8th verse, and they say, from that moment on, Jeremiah lost all fear and delivered his words of sad prophecies and warning throughout, without regard for the king and the strong men. Because you see, when you start doing the work of God, there's always opposition, and if the king didn't like it, you would be in trouble. But he still did it despite the king and the king's army. He did what God told him because he believed that God would protect him. When God asks us to do anything, no matter who we are, what he asks us to do, we sometimes, because we are human, we begin to fear, or we believe God didn't say it. We believe the devil may be trying to play tricks on us. But once you recognize what God is telling you to do, remember, just go and do it, because God don't ask you to do nothing without providing the provisions. You see, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he cried tears of sadness, not only because he knew what was about to happen, but because no matter how hard he tried, the people would not listen. Furthermore, he found no human comfort. God had forbidden him to marry or have children. God is in total control, and he knows what he's doing, and he don't make mistakes. And you look at this and you say, wow. But God forbid him to be get married and to have children. And his friends all had turned his back on him. You know, when you start speaking a word of God, you know, you have these friends and you start telling them, you know, I'm not what I used to be, the things I used to do, I don't want to do that no more. And I'm pressing towards another mark of a high calling. You know, they you know, you lose them. They don't want to have nothing to do with you no more. So his friends had turned it back. He didn't have a wife and he didn't have children. So along with the burden of the knowledge of impeding judgment, he also must have felt very lonely. God knew that this was the best course for Jeremiah. Come on now. You see, through his loneliness and isolation, Jeremiah became to doubt God, because God, he thought, had, you know, caused this pain to him, and he began to doubt God. You see, but God understood that he was human, and you know, we sometimes feel like that. We don't doubt God, but we wonder sometimes why, and some people say you can't question God, but God don't mind you having a conversation with him. He said, in all things through prayer and supplication, make your request known. So that can't, you know, when if he say all things, all, A-L-L, mean all. So don't you think it mean all, even what you want to ask, even your questions, even the things you don't understand? But God was not through with him. You see, Jeremiah preached for 40 years, and not once did he see any real success in changing or the softening of the hearts and the minds of his stubborn, idolatrous people. You see what that's telling you? You know, sometimes you have somebody you know in your neighborhood or your family or your friends, and you know, they're doing things that they shouldn't do. And you know how some people throw their hands up and say, he'll never change? Until the world ends, they could change. Look at the thief on the cross. Jeremiah preached for 40 years. So we have to be patient with people. And if God told you to do it, do it. He didn't say you had to guarantee how the outcome come. When you're talking to somebody over and over and over about being saved, God didn't tell you you had to save them. He didn't tell you you best get them saved. He say, shed a word, dust the dust off your feet and move on. You see, and what we can learn from the life of Jeremiah is the comfort of knowing that just like every believer, you and I, even great prophets of God can experience rejection, depression, disencouragement in their walk with God. Let me just tell you, if you feel in any of them things, ever have felt it, or make, before it's over, I'm sure you will, it's not isolated. Don't isolate it. Don't take it so personal, you know, because it happens. God didn't tell us it wouldn't happen. He gave us the illustration about Jeremiah to let us know that it could happen, and it probably would happen. You see, this is a normal part of growing spiritually, because our sinful nature fight against our new nature, that which is born of the Spirit of God. So there's going to always be a war. There's going to always be disagreement with us and our emotions and how we feel, because we're human, and it's a fight between the spirit and the flesh. So I'm going to do a little introduction tonight about the lesson, so you guys could be right there, come right there and grab a hold of it. And as we go through it, we're gonna rock it together. You see, one of the most powerful analogies in the Bible regarding the transformation and sanctification in the Lord has to do with the analogy of the potter and the clay. God is illustrating his sovereignty over and in the lives of his people. You see, the Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay. It is up to God. It is up to God, not you. It is up to God, not you. It is up to God, never you. to mold, transform, and sanctify us as we journey through this earthly life. Whenever God gives us a specific analogy in the Bible, this means that we have to seek into the revelation of what this analogy is telling us. You know, we have to ask ourselves, what is he trying to tell us in this analogy? You know, analogy is like a parable. You know, they both sometimes do the same things, but it's sometimes explained different. Analogy is when you take things and put them side by side, and you look at them, and then you look at it in the earthly, and you see how you can relate it to the spiritually. You know, if we do really look at what God is trying to say, then we can see exactly what God is trying to tell us in reference to the actual analogy itself. In other words, we have to find exactly. So since that was said, I say, okay, what could I do? I could find out exactly how pottery is made. And I figured that was necessary to study a lesson like this. And so I looked it up and researched and whatever, so we could fully understand what God is trying to tell us in this incredible analogy. God is the potter and we are the clay. So if we go to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, I'm going to read the first and the second verse, and we're going to expound on that for a while, and we're going to go on in the lesson. So 18th chapter, the first verse said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go to the potter's house. And behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. What was happening? God was teaching Jeremiah lessons. And God wanted him to really get what he was trying to say to him. Ain't God awesome? So God said, Jeremiah, look, get up, and you go over there to the potter's house. And, you know, and behold, he wrought a work. He's going to do some work with some clay on a wheel. And as you look at that, you understand how I'm going to work with you and how I'm going to work with my people and how I'm going to work with Israel. He said, because if you could really see what the potter does with the clay, you could understand what I'm trying to tell you. You see, God wanted Jeremiah to understand the lesson that he was about to teach him. So he sent him to the potter house to see what the potter does with the clay. You see, the potter, which is God, the clay, which is us. You see, once we get saved, once we accept Christ as our Savior, then we become the children of God, and God placed us on the wheel, and the wheel began to turn, and the wheel began to help him to mold us into our intended purpose and reach our expected end. You see, so I looked at the different things that a potter have to do. You know, one thing a potter have to do, the potter then has to add water to this clay in order to make it flexible and adaptable and soft enough for him to be able to actually use it. You see, if there's not enough water in the clay will remain too hard. Is that like hard-headed people? Will remain too hard and rigid for him to be able to actually use. You see, the word water in the Bible is symbolic to the word of God. In other words, the word of God is like water to our souls. Just like our physical body need water in order to be able to live and survive, our soul needs God's word, the flowing water, in and through us in order to feed us from the inside out. What this is telling us, that God cannot even begin the sanctification process, which is to mold and to transform us in this life, unless we first be willing to do our part. So you're saying, okay, what's my part? You have to grow in the knowledge of God. Have Christian growth in your life. The more Christian growth and the more word you have in you, the more molding can be done, because it can make sense to you. That's what they talk about, taking you from one level to another level. The more you put in, the more the Holy Ghost could give you out. But you see, we have to do our part, and we have to grow in the knowledge of God by studying the word of God. You see, the word is part of the molding process. The more we know, the more we will grow. You see, the Holy Ghost is bringing a word to our mind, but he can only put out what you have put in. You know, like late in the midnight hour when everything is going wrong and you're sitting up there and you can't sleep, you can't eat, and you're walking back down, and then some kind of way, some word come up to you that it says, you know, Jesus is going to work this out. You know, that word can't come out of you and comfort and guide you. And the Holy Ghost can't bring it to your remembrance if you never put it in you. You see, the more you put in, the more they have to mold and to shape and to give the illumination and a revelation of what is being taught. And that's how you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. That's how your faith increase. Come on now. And God is doing that while you're on the wheel at the potter's house. You know, once there is enough water and the clay is soft enough and ready to be worked on, the potter then put it in the center of the wheel. Y'all could kind of have an idea what I'm talking about. You know, it's a little table, and it has a little platform, a little table at the top, and it's on the wheel, you know, and it turns around. It looked like a little piece. It looked like a little table. You know, but when it's soft enough in the water, it's soft enough and it's ready to be worked, the potter places in the center of the wheel. You know, that's the middle of the table. You know, it has to be centered just right. However, if a piece of the clay is not perfectly centered, the potter will not be able to work with it. Come on now. Y'all saw how it looked. Y'all saw the movie Ghost. Was that Ghost? When, you know, they was fooling with that clay in that pot and that wheel and it was turning. That could give you a good example if you ever saw that. We have to be in position to receive all that God has for us. Just like the potter cannot mold the piece of clay into the piece of pottery that he is trying to make it be, unless it is perfectly centered in the middle of the wheel. I tell people all the time, you got to keep yourself in position to receive the things of God. You know, God has blessings for many people, but you're out of position. You got to watch how you walk and watch how you talk and watch how you treat people and watch what you say and watch what you don't say. And, you know, you have to do these things because all of that keep you in position. You know? And it's even some of the things in the earthly realm that you got to stay in position. You won't buy a house. You got to keep your credit clean to be in position to get the house. You know, when you buy a house, most of the time you need a little down payment. Save you some money on the side and get in position to be able to do it. So when God get ready to bless you, you got all your ducks in a row. You are perfectly centered. You are in position and you ready to receive. You see, in the same way that the Lord cannot begin to properly work with us in this life unless we show up. Be in position and be perfectly centered in him by giving total surrender to him. You see, Jesus has to become both the Lord and Savior of your life. You know, a lot of people say Jesus is my Savior, but have you become your Lord? You see, he's not just our Savior, but he's also our Lord. And we have to get to the point like Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not our will, but thy will. And this is one simple thing if you get nothing else tonight. You have to learn to give him your all if you expect to get his all. Learn to give him all, your all, and then you can expect his all. You know, the rule of thumbs is if you're giving 10% and you reap what you sow, you could only get 10% back, right? I'm not telling you're going to be perfect. I'm not even telling you what to do. Whatever you're doing, if you're giving him enough, then oh well. If you're not, then do some more. You see, once the clay is on the wheel and it's positioned in the right place, and the right amount of water has been applied, you see, that's when the wheel begins to turn. You see, the wheel has to move slowly and steady as it turns. See, the potter is using his hand to mold the clay into the pot that he wants to make it. If the wheel turns a little too fast, you see, that lump of clay will begin to tear completely apart before he can make it to the finish line. Come on now, y'all. The race is not given to the swift, but those who endure until the end. You know, this is a process. The sanctification process is a lifelong process, and we are being sanctified daily, and we will be till Jesus' return, or we die, whichever comes first. You see, he wants to work and build our lives in him, in our fast-paced, self-centered world. We are used to instant everything. But in God's realm, he usually works things out sometime in a much slower time frame than we're used to. And if we do not learn how to go with his slower flow and time frame, you know what happens? We could end up getting very frustrated and impatient, and then eventually end up losing out. How many times we start out with God and then we figure he's going too slow? And we pick and we pick and we pick till we make a mess. You see, what we have to do is learn how to be patient and ask the Holy Ghost to help us with that. Because the Holy Ghost is operating in us to help keep you. You say, Sister Diane, when you say that, what you mean? The Holy Ghost is helping keep you. When Jesus left, he left the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is living in you, and they say he's the comforter and he's the guide. But he helped keep you. You know, sometimes they say, you know, you hear something and they say, you know, people say, I heard something, and they say, don't go here, don't go there. Ain't no something, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has helped keeping you. When fear come upon you, a bad decision, or you're trying to make a decision, and you start applying the word of God to it, that's the Holy Ghost keeping you. So many people go around, they know God, they know Jesus, they heard of the Holy Ghost, but I'm going to tell you, get acquainted with the Holy Ghost, because he is someone to be acquainted with. The Holy Ghost, you know, is a person just like the Father and the Son. And the Holy Ghost is the one that's living inside of us that God left in control. And for those who don't know, God has given the Holy Ghost the authority to administer and give out gifts. You know, you want a gift from God, one of the spiritual gifts or the gifts in the realm from God, ask the Holy Ghost. You want wisdom, you can ask the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost is operating in us to keep us. And he brought with him patience. He brought love, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, gentleness, kindness, goodness. He brought that. When he came in, he had a suitcase, and he had that in his hands. and he brought it inside of you. But you see, as the molding and shaping of the potter continue, all of these things is going to work, going to be synchronized in your life. You're going to have joy in the midst of storm. You're going to have peace. You're going to be patiently waiting on God because you realize God knows best. And you're going to walk in faith, not by sight, because you know if you could see it, you don't need faith. You see, the Holy Ghost is going to keep you, what they say, in perfect peace. The Holy Ghost is going to tell you how to be gentle and how to be kind and how to dwell in goodness. Come on now. The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Remember, the Holy Ghost is operating in us to keep us. From what else? From all hurt, harm, and danger. Holy Ghost, open the door for favor to come in your life. Hallelujah. Once, I must need to do a lesson on the Holy Ghost. Once the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel at the right pace, it's rightly centered, it have enough water on it, the potter takes his clay. It's already in his hand, but he have it in his hand and he push it down on the top of the clay to create an opening in it. Come on now. Once this opening has been made at the top of the clay, the potter hand then goes down deep inside the middle of the clay as it is forming out, and he then uses his hand to properly shape the piece of clay as it is building up during this spinning process on the wheel. So what God wanted Jeremiah to see up in that? You see, God is letting us know that he is the one that is doing the work. Come on now, can you be a lump of clay and let God mold and shape you? Can you give up that control you have in your life that, you know, I'm big and bad enough to do whatever I want and I'm a self-made man? First of all, ain't nobody made theyself. Come on now. Can you do it? You see, he's the one that's doing the work. That's what we can't get. Plenty of people refuse to follow Christ because they think it's too hard. God ain't never asked you to do the work. He is the one doing the work. His hands are working on both our inside and outside while molding, shaping, and transforming us for his glory. The scripture says, and y'all know, those who know me, y'all know this is my best scripture, Philippians 2 and 13. You know what that scripture says? Says that it is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasures. If the scripture says him working in us, why you can't believe it? And let God do his work and you be the clay. You see, in the same way, God's own hands literally, goes down deep into the middle of our soul and spirit where the inner sanctification work is actually done. I got to stop here and say this. Sanctification, that's another lesson. But I'm going to tell you about the sanctification program one other night. But the sanctification is really done in the inner part of your soul to mold and transfer us into to his expected end. We must learn to cooperate with the work of the Holy Ghost since God is doing the actual supernatural work on the inside of us. It can become rather painful and unpleasant at times. Come on now, huh? Y'all know that? When God told you to close some doors and then open other doors and leave some people alone and bring people in your life and stop doing this or stop doing this, it could get a little painful sometimes. But he will be removing all of the bad and negative qualities that he will not want us to have operating in our life, and at the same time instilling and importing all of the good, positive, and godly qualities that he will want us to have. You see, a good amount of pressure. Come on. See, when that potter is working, he has to apply a good amount of pressure. has to be applied. And garlic, you know, has to be applied because that's how he gets the shaping until you want. You know, he sometimes have to apply pressure, a good amount of pressure. But we understand that, and God always told us, no pain, no gain. You see, removing toxic qualities such as pride, ignorance, bad temper, and lust can always be very painful due to our flesh wanting to keep these negative qualities operating in our lives. So it's a battle. It's a struggle. But God is working it out if you allow him. See, God is a gentleman. God won't take nothing from you that you want. God don't make you go no places you don't want to go. God don't take you nowhere you don't want to go. So that's why it's better to submit. You see, the potter knows that. The potter knows what he wants the finished product to be. And God knows our intended purpose. He ordained it before the foundation of the world. Because Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now, this God talking in the Old Testament, and y'all know y'all wasn't born in the Old Testament. Not only was y'all not born, your mama wasn't born, and your mama wasn't born. So I'm going to tell you how, you know, this is Jeremiah in the Old Testament, 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And after God said that, that is so beautiful for God to tell us something like that so long ago, and then we could still hold on to it today. Because what we have to say, not our will, but your will, God. You see, the potter cannot stretch the clay beyond his limit. If he do, the clay will tear apart and be completely destroyed. You see, in the same way is with us, with God. Though we are always taught to press on and to go as far as God will take us in his life and our specific calling in him, but we have to realize that there is another side to the two-sided coin. We have to make sure that we do not stretch beyond what God is calling us to do or decide to do some things that God didn't tell us to do, or either be in the church and be doing the church work and not the work of the church. Come on, I don't stretch yourself too thin and then blame it on God. You see, God knows what each and every one of us are capable of doing, and he never asks us to perform something that he knows that we are not capable of doing. So if it's something that you're doing and you can't, you know, it's God didn't work like that. You see, the potter has to keep his eye on the clay, and God's eyes are always on his children. He will never leave us or forsake us. That's the word of God says. You see, the potter then takes a knife and cut off all of the excess clay that has accumulated around the pot that he's forming as he was molding it on the spinning wheel. You see, he's smoothing out the rough edges. Come on now. Can you see the hand of God? In the same way, God will be pruning by arranging and rearranging us so that we can handle the next matters in our lives. God is pruning us. Come on now. He got all the rough edges off, and the potter takes that knife. You know what that is, the circumcision of our heart. Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Circumcision of our heart. Take away the excess. You see, pruning, the potter was pruning the pot, getting away the excess. You know, and after that, the pot, when the pot is completely dry and ready to go in the fire, this initial firing removed the water so that the piece can be glazed without returning to mud and breaking. Y'all know if they don't take and glaze that pottery, you know, it'd be brittle and it could turn back to mud because, you know, but when it's dry, the piece can be glazed without returning back to mud and breaking. And you see, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I believe the glazing that takes forward is the blood of Jesus that is covered us. the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, we have the blood of Jesus upon us. Glaze me, Lord. And the blood of Jesus to be kept. When we get the blood of Jesus, we are being kept, and it helps us not to turn back to our old nature. You see, and then there's a second firing, you know, because after they do that and they glaze it and then they take it and put it in a higher fire, and after the second firing, the pot is ready for use. Come on now. God say we will be tried in the fire, but we will come out like pure gold. You see, the fire is our trials and tribulations and adversities that God used to get us in a mature position, just like the clay to be used. And then they had some more verses. They had the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth verse, and I'm going to read them quickly. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, mean ruined, messed up in his hand. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. He started over and he made one that he wanted to make and it was good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? God made him stand up there and saw everything the potter do. He said, what? Can I do to you? He's asking us tonight. Lord is asking, can he do to us what that potter did with the clay? And everyone will have to answer for themselves. But he said, oh, Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter? He said, the Lord, behold, look what he said. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, this God talking to him now, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And you know what God wrote to them is also for us. And as I close tonight, as the potter mold and shaped a clay pot on the potter's wheel. You know, sometimes, that's when this scripture first said it was marred. Sometimes defects can appear. You know, but the potter has the power over the clay to allow some of the defects to remain, come on now, or to reshape the pot. Just as well, God has the power to reshape us to conform to his purpose, because God is in total control. Nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed it. And if he took that clay and he orchestrated it to be a pot vessel, then it's going to be a pot vessel. And if it might have one defect in it, because nobody's perfect, God can allow that because he's in control. And I just want you to know that our strategy should not be to become mindless and passive, which is one aspect of the clay, but be willing and receptive to God's impact on us. As we yield to, he begins reshaping us into a valuable vessel. Like Jesus, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him be the potter and you be the clay, and he will fix it for you. That's our lesson tonight. One of the things that I just thought about, and I don't know if I read it, I don't think I did, that when, you know, the potter wheel can turn too fast, you know, you know, we got to stop trying to do everything so microwave and fast and get on our knees to God and say how quick he answered, how quick he didn't answer. You know, God is not on a microwave time. And another thing, stretching us beyond our thing, you know, sometimes a potter could be having a pot, a thing on a wheel, and he could be shaping it and molding it and say if it's 3 inches tall and he won't make it 5 inches tall and he's going to stretch it beyond its capability of being stretched and everything is ruined. But God don't stretch you beyond your limits. He don't put no more on you than you can bear. The scripture says that there is nothing that is not common to man. That means if it's an already, nothing that can happen to you have not happened to someone. He's saying God never allow you to be tempted more than you can handle because he always provide a way to escape. You see, I could see God using an analogy of the potter and the clay. And God gave that to Jeremiah to use, and he told him, go to the potter house and see what the potter does with the clay. And just as well as the potter work with that clay, that's how I want to work with you. So there's a lesson in this tonight, you know, and I thank God for it, and I thank each and every one of you for calling in. At this time, if anyone would like to say anything, you could press the 1 button on the phone. If you want to make a comment about the word of God that just went forward, if you would like to pray, if you would like to give a word of encouragement, if you would like to, okay, I have someone call a 985-224. Your line is open.
Good evening, Minister Diane. I just want to congratulate you for letting God use you to give us this message for 2 years on a Wednesday night. I look forward to it. I just have learned so much, and I want to thank you and encourage you to just keep letting God use you. And as you always pray and say that hopefully his word will not return void, I can tell you his word does not return void. And I just encourage you to keep giving us the word and keep encouraging us, and I encourage you. Again, thank you for this lesson tonight. I do have a question, though. I don't want to get it twisted. I think I heard you say Jeremiah was forbidden to marry or have children. And just so that I don't get it twisted, I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer, but I think I heard you say that. Again, thank you for letting God use you to be a vehicle to bring the message to us.
And I want to say thank you so much, Ms. Brown, all the way from La Place, Louisiana. And I did say tonight that God forbidded Jeremiah to be married and he didn't have children. And I think I have the scripture for it. Wait, I got the scripture. It's in Jeremiah 16:2. So if you go to Jeremiah 16:2, you could probably see where it talks about where God forbid him to marry and have children.
Thank
you. I was talking about his lonesomeness. Jeremiah 16:2. Yes.
Thank you.
Now, wasn't that something? Because when I, you know, read up on it, I was saying, wow. You know what I'm saying? But see, God said he knew what was best for Jeremiah. You know, maybe if he got married, the way God wanted to use him, he needed him to be single, you know. But God does what he wants. The point is God does what he wants. He don't have to do it like we want him to do it to be God. And God does not go in counsel with nobody to decide what he want to do. And that was a little bit about Jeremiah, but that was the scripture and where you could find it. Anyone else would like to say something? And thank you so much, Sister Joyce, for calling in and a words of encouragement, because I could use that. Anybody would else like to say anything, would like to pray? If not, it's now 9:26. I'm going to give the benediction prayer, because after that I will play music. And for those who want to leave after the benediction and don't want to listen to the music, they can. But there's blessing in a benediction. So since no one would like to pray, I'm going to go ahead and do the benediction. And I'm going to do it a little different. It's not different, but I'll do a benediction scripture. And the scripture that I'm choosing is 2 Peter 3:18. And the scripture says, and as we learn this lesson and as we came together in fellowship in the word of God, I just ask that you be in, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Amen. And that's the benediction gone. And my desire is that each and every one of you have a great weekend. My desire is God allow his favor to flourish in and through your lives. And my desire is for all of your family to be protected. My desire for you is that you hold on to the confession of your faith. And at this time, that was the benediction. If someone would like to say something after I start playing the music, you could press the one button and I could open the mic. But that's our lesson for tonight, and I'm going to start the music. Thank you.
We want to speak life over you today. Every person listening, we want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New breed.
When God is in it, it's not over.
When God is near, there is no limit. When God is in, see,
it's not over.
When God is in, speaking this over your family.
It's not over yet.
Speaking this over your money.
We can do more.
Speaking this over your power.
Another Wednesday night. And that's the end of our program. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And if it's the will of God, we'll meet back again on Wednesday night. Same time, same station. God be with you until we meet again. Thank you, and good night.